Relaunch. That's kind of an interesting term, and we kind of went through some real discussions to come up with that, but we thought it was good. Does anybody share a guilty pleasure that I have of watching Kitchen Nightmares, the television show? Do you know what I'm talking about? Gordon Ramsay, the most foul-mouthed cook in the world. I mean, every other sound on that show is bleep, okay? But he is a guy, he's a world-class chef, he's Michelin-rated, has 11 restaurants worldwide, all highly successful. And people write to him with troubled restaurants that are going broke and say, come fix us. So he goes in there, takes a look at everything that's going on, analyzes the whole situation, comes up with a plan to make this restaurant work. Every detail he goes through, menu, the kitchen, the cooks, the staff, even the color of the carpeting, he looks at everything. Then one night, he brings his entire team in, they redo the whole place. The owners come in the next morning, they have a brand new menu, he goes through things, and they do a relaunch. They take this old restaurant and relaunch it. Now, I like relaunching things like this, but we're going to relaunch a brand new 50-year-old church. There's nothing wrong with this one to begin with. We're just going to pick it up and take it from here, a brand new step, a brand new everything, and take off into the next 50 years to even be more successful. Now, launch is a word that church planters use. And I'm big on church planting. I really am. I just like to plant a church every week in the same spot, right here. I like to plant our brand, our worship, our spirit of service, our mission, our purpose to love God, love people, and that's all people, even the messy ones, and help people love God. We went to a conference last week, and it was quite interesting. Because we knew we were going in there because it was about sexual identity. All right, so this is interesting to start with. As they introduce the speaker, he comes up to the podium. And I said, this is really going to be interesting, I can tell. Then he starts into a story of his life. And he tells about being raised as a boy with a stepfather who sexually abused him. A mother that paid him no attention. A father that abandoned him, and he ends up hooked up with some aunts, and all he has is female connections in life. So he grows up a little effeminate. He doesn't have any male role models that are healthy. Everybody starts telling him he's a sissy, telling him he's gay, telling him he's a homosexual, and finally one day he says, I guess that's what I am. That's what everybody tells me. So he starts a homosexual lifestyle. And up into his 30s, he lived that way, to the point where he is finally living 2 years as a woman. Because you have to live 2 years as a woman, or they won't give you your gender surgery to make you a woman. And he signed up with Johns Hopkins University Hospital, and he's got his surgery scheduled, and he's at the end of his 2 years, and he has some kind of a revelation. And he starts talking to God about it. What are you trying to tell me? What's happening here? If you don't want me to do this, give me a sign of some kind. And the very next week, Johns Hopkins University decides for ethical and moral reasons and effectiveness that they're going to close down their entire surgical unit that does transgender surgery. And he goes, I'm so flattered. You closed the whole thing down just for me. Now, this guy is effeminate, but he kind of explains it this way. Arnold Schwarzenegger is a 100% red-blooded American. He was our governor. But he still has an accent of Austria. And this guy still has an accent of effeminism. And he has a voice coach that he works with, but it's something that is so ingrained in him. But I'm just trying to think. He has 31 years in ministry now. He's happily married with 2 grown children, and they're beautiful. He has a beautiful family. What would have happened if somebody hadn't taken the time to help him love God? Because he hooked up, when he started searching, he met some people that just showed him how to love God. They didn't try to make him less gay. They didn't try to say, you need to be a little bit more masculine. They kept showing him how to love God. And out of that growth came his life change. And it's a wonderful story. That's what we're about, helping people love God. So, moving on, We're going to re-energize. Okay, I want everybody to take in a great big breath and let it out with a great big sigh. Do it with me right now. Take a breath. There. All righty now. Nap time's over. It's time to wake up, sleepers. The Lord is waiting to guide our feet. We're launching to exciting times here at the brand new 50-year-old Cordova Church of Christ. We're launching in with brand new preaching. We have teachers out there that are going to bring you brand new lessons. And our kids program has never been better. We have new opportunities for ministry where every member is an active participant in ministry, where every person knows their elevator speech and can in 1 minute answer the question, what is your ministry? You know what? And I'm saying that we're going to recognize our volunteers. You know, have we not told you lately that we love you? Okay. We really appreciate the work that you guys do in this community right here in this plant, in this church. You do a lot of terrific work, and probably we don't recognize that enough for you. But we're going to be intentional about telling you. We appreciate that. We're also going to recognize excellence. We're going to kind of do like the Raiders. We're going to have a commitment to excellence, but I hope we do a lot better job of it than they've been doing lately. And we're going to recognize that there's areas that we need to improve, and we're going to work on those. We're going to recognize that there's needs that are going unmet right here in this community and worldwide. And as children of God, we're going to do what we can to do something about those things. Then we're going to renovate the way we get things done. Stress is a symptom of an unhealthy system. Systems are the most natural thing in the world. Your body is composed of nothing but systems. Think about it. Skeletons, muscular, nervous, respiratory, circulatory, digestive, and even reproductive, all systems. And over, the church is referred to as a body with many parts. And this body needs systems too. And there's at least 8 systems for health and growth in a congregation, starting with what we're doing right here today, a worship system. It's not random, okay? It takes planning. It takes a system to implement it and evaluate it. The better the plan, stress goes down, but the impact goes up. Now, everybody commented on last week. Wasn't that wonderful last week? You can amen that, right? It didn't just happen, okay? It took some planning. You know, the very first thing in worship service, you know what it is? Somebody has to unlock the gate, okay? There are 60-something people working here every Sunday for a worship service to happen, and it takes planning. We need an evangelism system, how we attract people to our church and mobilize our members into the community. Our goal is to be attractional and missional. If you don't have a system, it quenches the spirit. And an assimilation system. That sounds kind of like the Borg, doesn't it? You remember the Borg? You know, you will be assimilated. I forget how they used to do it. How we turn first-time guests into fully engaged members at the Cordova Church of Christ. We're going to start with a brand new greeters ministry. But you know what? If you're too shy to go greet people, do you know that if you pray about every first-time guest at our church, it doubles the growth? That alone. And an M-group system, how we fill and reproduce M-groups at Cordova. Every study has shown you've got to have those smaller groups. You know, less is more a lot of times, where people can build those relationships and become more of a family. And a ministry system, how we mobilize people for significant ministry, how we celebrate ministry, how we provide opportunities for ministry. And there are plenty of opportunities. There's sign-up sheets in the foyer as we speak, one about an Easter outreach that needs to be filled up. And a stewardship system, how we develop extravagant givers at Cordova. And I think we can start with just getting some bigger envelopes. This is not very extravagant to me, you know, and all joking aside, this is an extravagant envelope. Maybe we start putting those out there. Seriously, though, people don't just walk into a church for the first time and know how much to give. It's a part of growth. It's a part of teaching. It's a part of mentoring and modeling. But we need a system to make sure that every person understands the importance and the value of giving. A leadership system, how we develop leaders at all levels at Cordova. We are growing as leaders personally, because we understand that growing leaders grow leaders. And we have a unique system here of leadership, and it's a team concept. And I'm telling you what, Jimmy Hurd is very excited about coming and being a part of this existing team. Now, we haven't arrived yet. We are growing, not grown. But we uniquely make decisions, work collaboratively, and support each other's work in every way that we can, because your success is my success. It's because it's God's success. A strategy system, how we constantly evaluate and improve Cordova, always asking, what's our next best step? I'm telling you, these are exciting times at Cordova. And you know what? We need to reinvent something, our communication stream. We're actually going to get into the 21st century. You know, the 20th century is past. 21st century, without leaving anybody behind. We are going to use things like Facebook and Twitter, which I don't know where that name came from, and blogs. We are already doing that a little bit. We're going to expand that out there because this is a growing. The guy didn't make $40 billion because it's not working, right? Be a more part of, a bigger part of that. I thought a blog was a 50s science fiction movie with Steve McQueen in it. You remember that one? The blog? I've been working on a project with one of the neighborhood associations, and we've been going back and forth electronically, and I found out I was part of a blog. I have been blogging. Who would have known I could be so technical, you know? So, one other thing. Read your bulletins. Look at the website. This is one of your most valuable tools. We're not hiding anything from you. Everything that you want to know is going to be in here on any given week. It's a matter of actually opening them up, going through them. They put a lot of time. This is really a wonderful. I've looked at church bulletins. That's one of the best ones I've ever seen. It's a wonderful tool. Use that. Use the website. That is 100% on the website also. Then I think we're going to recast our vision. Not so much for change, but just to impart it to every member, to get your buy-in, to get your support, to be able to share it with other people that you meet. You know, church leadership is kind of like riding on the front seat of a roller coaster. You know what I mean by that? Okay. If you're cruising along uphill, guess who's the first person to recognize that you're going to go downhill? A church leader, the guy in the front seat of the roller coaster. You start going downhill before, while everybody else is still going uphill. And it's your job when everybody is happy and fat and they're just being having a good time saying, hold it. We've got to make a change. We're getting ready to plummet. You owe it to somebody. Now, the other part of that is when everybody is going downhill, who's the first person to start going uphill? And it's the job of church leadership to say, it's all right. There are good things on the horizon. We are headed uphill. Rejoice, okay? Now, we're going to bring Jimmy Hurd in here, and he's going to bring additional vision, and he's going to have a fresh set of eyes, and we're going to plunk him right down in the front seat with us, wrap our arms around him, and say, Jimmy, get ready for the ride, because these are exciting times here at Cordova. I can see it, and I'm here to tell you about it. And also, recreation. We're going to admit the importance of healthy play. Be intentional about it. You know, we're going to plan things. We've been blessed with wonderful, wonderful outdoor space and lots of it, haven't we? I think God wants us to use it. And we will use it. We'll invite the community to come recreate with us through events like our Easter outreach. There are sign-up sheets in the foyer. And Family Olympics, softball, volleyball, basketball, dinner on the grounds. Even loose microphones. Relationships, because we know people need relationships. Get people connected. New people come in here, give them four friendships, four relationships that give them a sense of family, a sense of being connected. You know, gangs are a problem everywhere, and we have them right here at Rancho Cordova, too. It's a result of no connections. People desperately seeking connection. Shelly Hodgkins, she's one of our school resource officers here in Cordova. She has a thing called Girls Circle because she gets all the bad kids, the really bad kids, kids that are committing crimes. And she sits with these girls and she has them journal, and then she journals back to them. And one thing she's come up with, she understands these kids have no sense of normal. Let me explain that to you. They don't know that it's not normal to be raped five times before you're 15. They don't know that it's not normal not to be beat up by your boyfriend two or three times a week. They don't know that it's not normal for your parents to be strung out on drugs, sit around the house all day, drink beer and watch TV and not work. That's their life. That's their normal. Now, we can't maybe reach into those homes, but if one of those children walks into here, we can reach out to that child and show them a sense of normal. We can give them a family. And that means we need to strengthen our families, have some classes, fellowships, M groups, and mentors. And you know what? One thing we'll do for you is we're going to redeem your time. Everything we do here is structured to you to get your most value out of your time. He's been doing that to me all morning. I'm starting to like it, you know. We set up structure for worship here for you to come, have a worship experience and an educational experience, and then have the rest of your day. And you know what? You can come back at night for go. We also know that there's no secret that more people come back at night when we have food. And we understand that it's not because the food is so good, but we have redeemed an hour and a half of your time that you would have taken preparing a meal and cleaning up after a meal. So we understand that. And it's good to just have that time to fellowship one with one another, because I watch you guys talk at these fellowship meals, play together at volleyball and things like that, and it's a wonderful, to me, a worship experience. Then we're going to release our members to ministry. We're going to equip you with training, seminars, educational opportunities. We're going to build teams that work with our community partners and serve alongside of the existing groups and bring our gifts and our talents into play. One thing we don't want to do, recruit. Don't make me do it. I want to spend my time and my energy organizing, training, and promoting, not begging. Have I mentioned an Easter outreach out there? And one final thing, how do you spell relief? Well, stick a fork in me because I'm D-O-N-E, done. Aaron's going to come up and finish.
So the question is, we move into our relaunching phase. The question on my mind is, who are we? Who are we going to be? What is going to show, what kind of things we're going to do that's going to show who we are? You can turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read from there in just a moment. But for the rest of this Sunday and then the next 2 weeks before Jimmy's here and before he begins his time preaching here, the Sunday before Easter and then Easter and then continuing on from there, we're going to talk about this idea of relaunch. And I'm just going to talk about a couple key things. That is, this is, I think, who we should be. And it's not the kind of program we have, and it's not the style of worship that we do, and it's not the identity tied up in a certain minister or preacher or eldership, but it is foundational attitudes of our people. What marks our attitudes toward God, toward church, toward community? What is our very ethos, our philosophical, foundational, theological ideas of who we are? Well, as we now move into relaunch, let's look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. It says this: not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. And so as we move forward, this isn't a rejecting of where we've been. But it is not, we're not going to sit here and dwell in who we've been and how things were. We're not going to dwell on any past preacher. We're not going to dwell on how difficult the transition time was. We're not going to dwell on how we used to like it back in the day. What we're going to do is we are going to press on and strain toward what is ahead, which is very good things in God's kingdom, based on the attitudes and actions and behaviors and worshipful lifestyle of people that attend this church. The old days were good. now is also great. And as we continue on, we will strain toward what is ahead. What matters is what is to come. Who we are now, we can't rest on anything that has already happened. We continually, as Larry said, every day we relaunch. Every morning when I wake up, I say, not Happy New Year, but Happy New Day, because there is new opportunities today surrounding me. So one thing that we will be in this relaunch as we continue on in the next months, years, and decades as Cordova Church of Christ, is that we will continue to look ahead. We will continue to look forward. And again, not a rejection of what was, but as a complement to what was. The best thing we can do to what we have been is to continue to be the best that we can. And in the context of what Paul says here in Philippians chapter 3, he says, not that I have already attained all this. Well, what is all this? He says in verse 7, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. So who will we be in this relaunch, in the transition, and when we stop talking about transition and relaunch, and when we just say, here we are now, and as we progress, let's take the gospel with us. First and foremost, number one, the cross. Number one, that Jesus died to reconcile us to himself. And then in my life, regardless of what happens at church, regardless of what an eldership or a minister or a preacher plans or does, is members say my life is centered on the gospel. And nothing else is as important. Everything else is rubbish compared to the gospel. That should receive an amen, not because of the preaching, but because of the truth of the gospel, that nothing, sacrificing everything about ourselves for that. What does that really mean, that it's the gospel? That means my life is to be sacrificed for everything around me, for those in the church, for those out of the church, for the family. The method, the strategy of evangelism and worship in the New Testament church, which we said we want to be like, was submission to others and sacrifice for others. And this is where we need to proceed as we relaunch. I want to look at another verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 16 through 21. I want to read this. This is the ministry of reconciliation. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, as he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we relaunch, today and every new day is an opportunity for reconciliation. Our message, our ethos, our very foundation is the gospel that Christ died, buried, and resurrected for each of us. Not just for freedom from my sins and grace and getting to go to heaven, but also to give me a mission as a person of God to die and sacrifice myself for those around me as well. And in my behavior and in my words and in my life and the way I treat people at church and the way I treat people out of church, I am imploring people to be reconciled to God, because he has made a way for it to happen. And this should be our very heartbeat. Everything that we do is to draw people to him. And I can tell you that it's not going to be a certain preacher or a style of worship or a time that we meet or a time that we don't meet or having the best small groups. It is going to be you as individuals, through your lives, imploring people to be reconciled to God. And in our relaunch, who will we be? Will we be a great church? I think we will. But it's not because Jimmy's so great, although he is. It is because of the attitudes, and it is because of the sacrificial lives of those who are a part of this church, of those who live for him, that themselves are reconciled to God, and implore others to be reconciled to God as well. And may we be a community where people can come and be reconciled, a community where people come and see what the gospel is. We're going to sing our last song, and I want to invite the elders to go and their wives to go to the foyer. And if you haven't been reconciled to God, go talk to them and say, I need this grace. I need this forgiveness, this mission in my life. I invite you to join us as we stand and sing.